Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
I don't know about you, but in my perfect world, when I am on vacation, I stay off electronics. But we all know it's an imperfect world. And just because we're on vacation, not everyone is going to cooperate by taking a vacation at the exact same time. So last summer, while I was on vacation in Maine, I got a text from a colleague admitting that he had failed to do something he had promised to do, which meant I'd have to do it, but I couldn't do it until the following week, which meant precious time was going to be lost that could jeopardize the success of our project. I was so angry. The only thing I could do was go for a run, thinking at least I could burn off energy without breaking anything or hurting anybody. So in a rage, I threw on my running gear and took off down the road. The whole way cursing this man in language from the scatological to the eschatological. Abusing him in terms so crude and anatomically unlikely that some people actually imagine that clergy are incapable of their utterance. And boy, are they wrong. Well, after a few minutes, my voice began to get hoarse, and my temper cooled just enough for me to notice where I was. I was on a dirt road in a pine forest, skirting Penobscot Bay on the coast of Maine. The sky was a pure and perfect blue. The surface of the ocean, that mysterious combination of gray and blue and green, beneath which seals and porpoises and cod and herring were swimming. The trees, the color of chlorophyll, doing its silent, life-saving work on behalf of all oxygen-breathing creatures like me. My 70-year-old body was healthy and strong. My feet and knees and calves and hamstrings all working together to propel me forward. And my balance was keeping me upright. And I was not falling or having a heart attack or a stroke. And I asked myself, what am I thinking? I am on vacation in paradise. And I am allowing a text message to rob me of my joy. And then I was free. Saved by the present moment. I realized my colleague had actually given me a precious gift, because now I could stop worrying about whether or not he was gonna do the thing that he promised. He wasn't. And since I couldn't do it myself until the following week, I had all weekend to relax and actually enjoy my vacation on the coast of Maine. So I stopped running, descended to the shoreline, removed my shoes and socks and shirt, and stretched out on a rock, blissful and carefree in the sunshine. The mind can make a heaven of hell, said the poet John Milton. And a hell of heaven. We are indeed going through hell, in case you haven't noticed, or at least we can see it from here. Last week, the Republican presidential nomination was clinched by an authoritarian cult leader and insurrectionist, pledged to remake the United States government in his image. Recent polling, granted 8 months before the election, shows him leading in the popular vote by as many as 6 percentage points. 4 years after George Floyd's murder, politicians are running for office on anti-woke platforms. Support for Black Lives Matter, according to polling, has dropped precipitously, with nearly half of white Americans calling the movement divisive and dangerous. Many states are rushing to restrict abortion access, LGBTQ rights, the books high schoolers can read, and I give a special shout out to our friends from Oklahoma who are here this morning. And I want to say the name next, Benedict. Scientists are increasingly alarmed by the freakishly accelerating warmth of the world's oceans, while unprecedented heat waves, wildfires, floods, and famines around the globe provide a terrifying preview of the climate-changed world our children will inherit. As the war in Ukraine drags on, Israel continues its relentless assault on Gaza. After the horrific October 7th attack by Hamas took more than 1,100 Jewish lives, Israeli retaliation has killed more than 31,000 Palestinians, an escalation of nearly 3,000%. Now, if you're still not quite certain that you can see hell from here, consider this. This year, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, this year's Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg Leadership Award is going to, among others, Elon Musk, Rupert Murdoch, and two convicted felons, junk bond king Michael Milliken and noted feminist Martha Stewart. The Ginsburg family has expressed its disgust. So many intelligent, rational people are using words like apocalyptic to describe our future. But in the original Greek, apocalypsis doesn't mean catastrophe. It means revelation. In the violence and uncertainty of these dangerous times and those to come, truths are being revealed that have long been hidden. To many of us, secrets uncovered, riddles unraveled. The earth has been speaking to us from the beginning, but most of us are only now beginning to listen and to relearn her language. So much is dying, and so much is being reborn, or born for the first time. You and I are poised on the precipice between the no longer and the not yet. Nearly 40 years ago, illustrator Mary Engelbreit published a print titled Don't Look Back. It pictures a child in a straw hat, suitcase firmly in hand, and a cloth bundle on a stick balanced on her shoulder. At a crossroads, a signpost proclaims in one direction, your life, and in the other, no longer an option. Having made her choice, which was really no choice at all, the child strides confidently, with a spring in her step, in the direction of her life. It serves no one to be racked with despair and guilt. We are most effective when we are calm and at ease, able to respond freshly and strategically to the challenges we face. in the difficult decades to come, we will need courage. We will need fortitude. We will need love. But we will also need equanimity. The literal meaning of equanimity is equal spirit. It does not mean passively accepting our circumstances as just or right or fair or even acceptable. It means accepting simply that they are. Only then can we make an accurate and discerning assessment of whether and how to transform or escape them, to fight, to fly, or perhaps even to engage with compassion and courage. Equanimity means being present to reality, even as we work to change it. When you argue with reality, you lose, says Byron Katie, but only 100% of the time. Nearly two centuries ago, in a moment of mystical transcendence, feminist Margaret Fuller exclaimed, "I accept the universe." By gad, she'd better, was Thomas Carlyle's riposte, clever and condescending. Who knows whether Carlyle missed Fuller's point or got it but went for the cheap laugh anyway? Because knowing we must accept the universe and actually accepting it are two very different things. You know, St. Paul charged us to pray without ceasing, but actually I think most of us argue with the universe without ceasing. When I am most provoked to rail against reality, a simple meditation by Martha Beck has helped me. On my in-breath, I think, I allow everything in the universe to be as it is in this moment. And on my out-breath, I surrender all resistance to the universe being as it is in this moment. Let me be clear, I am not surrendering resistance to injustice and oppression. I am accepting the reality of the world as it is in this moment. Not the next. This moment. And after just one or two repetitions of that meditation, my heartbeat and my breathing slow down, my tension eases, and I can think more creatively and accurately. When Kyra Jewel Lingo was a nun in Thich Nhat Hanh's Order of Interbeing in Plum Village, France, she took the risk of challenging those in authority by naming painful truths as she saw them. Now, even in a comparatively enlightened Buddhist community, truth-telling can be dangerous. And Kyra Jewel's caused an uproar. Soon, the uproar around her was roaring inside her head as well. Rocked by the reaction of people she respected, she began to doubt herself. But one morning, in the midst of the maelstrom, walking through Plum Village, she happened upon the venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, who regarded her gently and spoke to her three words. "It's all bubbles." That's all he said. "It's all bubbles." Those three words broke Kyra Jewel's fever. She realized that the uproar was temporary. Her upset was temporary. Everything is temporary. Bubbles. The Diamond Sutra, the Mahayana Buddhist scripture dating back at least to the 5th century, advises, "So you should view this fleeting world. A star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, a flickering lamp, a phantom, and a dream. It's all bubbles, Thich Nhat Hanh reminds us. Fragile, fleeting, and certain to break. Now, as a young black woman, Kyra Jewel tweaks her teacher's phrase just a little. "It's bubbles, y'all," she exclaims. "Let the bubbles pop. Pop." The Sanskrit word, upeksha, is usually translated as equanimity, but Thich Nhat Hanh translated it as inclusiveness. The more we include in our awareness, the more perspective we have, and the more perspective, the more peace. A spoonful of salt dissolved in a small glass of water, Buddhism teaches, makes that water unbearably salty. But dissolved in a lake, the same spoonful of salt is unnoticeable. Our consciousness must become like that lake. In the Christian and Hebrew scriptures, "be not afraid" is a constant refrain. The phrase and its variants are the most oft repeated in the Bible, appearing more than 400 times. Be not afraid. Now, like so much else in the Bible, I don't think these words are meant to be taken literally. How could we not be afraid? Fear is inevitable. Fear is human. Fear can save your life. But fear is just a feeling. Feelings arise, and then they pass away, if we let them. We can feel our fear, and then let it go, like a bubble in a stream. When FDR said, "the only thing we have to fear is fear itself," it was a nice bit of rhetoric, but even in 1933, it was plainly wrong. And still more so today. We have many, many other things to fear. But while fear can be a wise teacher, it is a wretched spouse. We must learn from fear, but not lie down with it. We must also be present to the beauty, the grandeur, the miracle of life. And if this does not come naturally to us, our openness to this presence can be a conscious and deliberate choice, a choice for equanimity. In her book, "We Were Made for These Times," Kyra Jewel Lingo offers four phrases to help us to choose equanimity. And I'll read them out for you, and after each phrase, I will invite the bell to invite us briefly into silent reflection. May I open to this moment just as it is. May my heart be at ease with the conditions of my life. As much as I would like things to be different, things are the way they are in this moment. May I open to the flow of joys and sorrows with understanding and equanimity. On retreat last fall, I found myself lying prone against the earth. Gradually, I began to feel myself merging with the soil, returning to my source, human, humus, humility, composting, returning to oneness, coming home to wholeness, even in death. And it was okay. It was all okay. It was more than okay. Whether it's the human species, all life on Earth, even Earth itself, or just little old me, it's okay to die. And in that brief moment, pressed against the moist and fecund soil, I understood equanimity. And when I rise, let me rise like a bird joyfully. And when I fall, let me fall like a leaf gracefully, without regret. That's a song adapted from the words of the poet Wendell Berry, by musician Wendy Tuck. And it's easy to pick up as a call and response. I invite you to sing with me after each phrase. And when I rise, and when I rise, let me rise,
let me rise
like a bird,
like a bird,
joyfully.
And when I fall,
let me fall,
let me fall
like a leaf,
like a leaf
gracefully,
gracefully,
without regret. Amen. A poem titled Blessing the Boats by the late African-American writer and educator Lucille Clifton. May the tide that is entering even now
the lip of our understanding carry you out. Beyond the face of fear, may you kiss the wind, then turn from it, certain that it will love your back. May you open your eyes to water. Open your eyes to water, water waving forever, and may you, in your innocence, sail through this to that. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. I love you. Amen.
Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.